Praise the name of Jesus. This will probably be a series of two messages, maybe three. And tonight will be the introduction for next week at least. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. I want to talk about how wonderful Jesus is, that when we get into the praise service, we might build some word to praise. Might build some concept that we just feel like praising Him when we get through and loving Him, because that's what He wants. And sometimes as we pat around out in the old dusty streets of the city and you come dragging yourself in, you'll wonder what there is to praise the Lord about. But you begin to look into His book and begin to see how wonderful He is and begin to reflect on what He's done for you and what He is doing and His great promises. And then we begin to, our spirits begin to lift and we begin to find there's much to praise Him for. Hallelujah. And He wants to be praised. He wants to be loved. He wants to show forth His blessing. And when He's loved, He showers forth His love to us. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. Then certain of scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Verse 42. Jesus said, The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And they were rejecting the greater than Solomon. Now Solomon was a majestic figure in the history of Israel, being one that was tall and stately and handsome, with the greatest empire that Israel had ever known in their history. It was the apex of Israel's history. There had never been a greater moment before nor after than in the days of Solomon, when the riches were brought from the ends of the earth and Israel became a nation from the Euphrates River to the Nile River to the Mediterranean, and all the other nations were subjected to them, and they held in the highest of positions. And the king, Solomon, was the wisdom of God, blessed beyond measure. Amen. With great wisdom beyond that of other men. Amen. Standing in a nation at peace, not having to war, building the magnificent temple there in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Amen. Jesus was the greater Adam. He was the last Adam that God started out to make, not the first one. And He wants us sons to be patterned after the last Adam, although we come out of the womb patterned after the first. Jesus was the greater Enoch. He walked with His Heavenly Father, with God perfectly, and was not, for God took him. He was the greater Isaac. He was the greater perfect sacrifice. He was the greater Joseph, sold by his brethren, falsely accused, and sent down into the dungeon of death, but being raised up highly exalted. He kept Israel through famine. He forgave and saved his brethren that worked against him and hated him. Jesus was the greater Moses, hidden from the king when he was young, delivered Israel with a high hand. Israel that was baptized under Moses in the sea and in the cloud, we're now to be baptized into the greater Moses, into the name of Jesus. He was the greater Joshua. He brought Israel out of a wilderness of sin and brought them into the promised land, overcame the enemy there and caused them to occupy. He was the greater Gideon. Time would fail to tell you how he was the greater Samson, the greater Samuel, the greater David. He was the greater Elijah, the greater Jeremiah, the greater Daniel, and the greater Jonah. But Christ is seen in His greatest glory under the type of Solomon. Amen. Solomon was born of Bathsheba, and her name means the daughter of the oath. And he was born of Mary, who God gave the oath to, that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. He should be called Emmanuel, which being an interpreter is El with us. Solomon was named by his father, and so was Jesus. And the Lord loved him. 2 Samuel 12:24 says, and the Lord loved Jesus, a perfect son. Now Solomon was the second son of his father, and so was Jesus, for he was the second Adam. Amen. The last one and the second one instead of the first Adam. The history of Solomon is found in 4 books of the Old Testament, and the history of Jesus is found in 4 books of the New Testament, commonly called the 4 Gospels. And if you turn with me to the chapter Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, I want to take you into the life of Solomon a bit, that through the typology of this Solomon, we might see the greater Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 10. His father says concerning Solomon, and the Lord said concerning Solomon, the Lord said, he shall build an house for my name. And Jesus is building a house for his father's name. And we are called in this New Testament the house of God, whose house we are, the scripture says. And he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And it was said concerning Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for a child shall be born and a son shall be given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. And he was a son, and he was a father unto him. And I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. And Jesus has said to be king of the Jews in the millennium, and king of the new earth in the new Jerusalem forever and forever and forever. King of all Israel, spiritual Israel, those who have prevailed with God. Solomon was charged by God to build the temple of God. And the Apostle Peter says we are lively stones in the temple of God. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. Solomon was to rule both Israel and Judah, according to 2 Kings 1:35, which is a rather strange prophecy concerning Solomon, inasmuch as Israel was not divided yet. But Jesus, down in the last day, shall take divided Israel, and they shall come together. And Ephraim, which stands for Israel, shall not vex Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. And the two shall be like one stick in his hand, the book of Ezekiel teaches us, verse chapter 36. In 1 Kings 1:36, we read, if you want to turn there, please. I think I'll read, first of all, verse 35. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come, that is Solomon may, and sit upon my throne, his father is saying. He, Solomon, shall come and sit upon my throne, his father is saying. Well, Jesus was going to come and sit on his father's throne, too. Amen. For he shall be king in my stead. For his spirit is in him. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaiah, the valiant of Israel, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, Amen. And the Lord God of my Lord the king say so too. And so concerning Jesus being king, the valiant of God's people say Amen, and God says so too. Amen. So let it be. Praise the Lord. Verse 38, so Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Now, we find that Solomon rode on his father's mule, on that which the king rides on. They used the mule because he was steady of foot, didn't shy like a stallion was, which was reliable. And that this was the king's instrument. And when Solomon rode on his father's mule, it meant that he was king in his father's stead. And Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the foal of an ass. And they wanted to make him king at that time, but he had a spiritual kingdom. But his kingdom, he is going to take him in the name and the glory of his Father to rule. And he is made king by his Father, even as Solomon made king by his Father. The kingdom shall be delivered unto the Son. In 1 Chronicles 28:4, if you'll turn over there, please. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me, Solomon is saying, before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. Jesus was chosen over all the sons of his father to be king of Israel. Of all the sons of God, Jesus, the Son of God, was chosen. And Solomon said, he liked me to be king. And that's what Jesus was like, to be king by his Father. And in verse 20 we read, and David said, and whenever you see David here, think of his father. In this typology, sorry, Solomon and his father. So David here represents God. Sometimes David represents Christ in one aspect, and Solomon represents Christ in another aspect. Otherwise, you're looking at Solomon only, and not a continuing typology, then you have Solomon as Christ, and then David is his father, representing deity or God. And David said unto Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. And that's what Jesus did. He did it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. And you can see what Jesus went through. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And when he finished the job on Calvary, his father forsook him for that moment. But he had finished the work. He did not forsake him until he had finished the work. And he forsook him only that he might, as man, stand in our stead and die as a man. God cannot die, of course. But then he raised him up from the dead. It's interesting, he says, he will not forsake thee until. I suppose that's the only place in the Bible you ever hear that God will not forsake thee until. Because he's speaking prophetically concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And behold, the courses of the priests and of the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee all manner of workmanship for every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people be holy at thy commandment. Here we see Jesus now down at the end of time. And as the greater Solomon, and even as God said, I will cause the hearts of the people of Israel to be with you, and the princes and the leaders and all the rest, and they'll work with thee holy. Even so, at the end of time in the millennium when Jesus reigns, he will cause the hearts of the people at that time to be in a position to serve him wholly. And at that time, there's going to be all manner of workmanship for every skillful man. For he will have brought his man-child up to a full stature and to a fullness of the position of Christ to be able to be a skillful man. And all manner of service, there'll be all the gifts will be in operation. The body will be all put together. Every member will be able to serve properly. And the princes of the people, those in high position, will be holy at his commandment, shall not rebel against him. And so it is true with the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days. And then we read in chapter 29 and verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. And that portrays Jesus perfectly. He was yet tender. He was yet young and untried. And the work is great. The work was great when the man of Galilee came on the scene there. And it was not a ruler in Israel, but the work was great. But he had a temple to build, not made with hands, but made by the Holy Ghost, whose temple are we. We're building blocks in that. and the work is great, as you can still see throughout the earth, but the temple is not for man, it's for God. And there are many people trying to build the temple for themselves. Can you imagine building a temple for the temple's sake? And then in verse 23, then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord, as king instead of David, his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And so Jesus Christ shall sit on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, and instead of his father, and he shall prosper. Yes. And all Israel is going to obey him in the millennium, in that time, and out throughout the New Jerusalem. And all the princes and all the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. All the mighty men, all the great ones. It's going to be a good day when all submit unto Jesus. Amen. That's going to be a wonderful time. It's not too far off. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. And so in the millennium and in the New Jerusalem, which is in the new earth, God is going to glorify Jesus with majesty as not been seen on the face of the earth. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10, give me now wisdom and knowledge, Solomon says to God, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people, that it is so great? Lord, how can I judge this people? Give me wisdom and knowledge. And Jesus is the wisdom of God, given wisdom above any man. When they went out to apprehend him, and they came back, they said, well, where is he? And they said, never man spake like this man. The Pharisees, the lawyers, enticed him into traps. And he broke through those traps as nothing. And confounded them so that after that time no man durst ask him any more questions. He shamed the lawyers and the leaders and the smart ones right in front of the rabble. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had before thee, neither shall there any be after, neither after thee have the like. And so God is saying to the greater Solomon, to Jesus, you have not asked for riches on this earth. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for riches. He became nothing. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for honor. He took the slaps. He took the abuse. He didn't make himself great. He had every opportunity to make himself great in the eyes of man if he'd played the game of man. No, the life, he hadn't asked for the life of his enemies. He didn't say, Lord, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. With all propriety, he could have said, call thunder and lightning out of heaven to destroy him. Why, the two sons of thunder, they said that concerning people baptizing. He didn't even say it toward his enemies. And he hasn't asked for a long life. He had a 3.5-year ministry. Cut off in the midst of his life. But he asked wisdom and knowledge that he might be able to help the people of God. God said, I will give you that and riches and wealth like no one has ever had before. And on the other side, he has a name above every other name, that at his name every knee shall bow in heaven and earth. The archangels shall bow. All the magistrates, the 24 elders. There shall be none who won't bow before him when his name is uttered, the greatest name under heaven. And the Lord God Almighty invested in him, and all heaven shall bow at his name. That's the lover of our soul who wants to make us his own, to rule and reign with him and sit on the throne with him and to love him and be loved of him and cherished as his delight forever. Will you turn him away? Will you turn it away? How can you turn it away? How can you turn such a prize away for our ails and join ails with Jesus Christ the righteous? How can you turn away such a thing? Dust of the earth, headed for judgment, to be made one with him who's under his name every knee shall bow, shall rule and reign with him in majesty and high, higher than the angels. Amen. Who can ever turn away such a marriage proposition? Amen. As Jesus has laid to us? And yet there are those who will do so. Verse 14, and Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, which he placed in chariot cities and went with the king at Jerusalem. Now we find that he had gathered a great army, and Jesus is gathering a great army. Off of the valley floor, he shall gather this army and breathe into him a breath of life. And they shall be a mighty army under the banner of God, the scripture says. And he gathered them into chariot cities. And he is gathering his army into various chariot walled cities. An assembly here, an assembly there, an assembly there with the chariots. And then in verse 15, the king made silver and gold at Jerusalem as plenteous as stones. And cedar trees he made as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. Now the wood of the tree represents humanity. And when he's making the trees, he planted trees all throughout the land. And God is planting sons of God. Amen. Throughout the whole land that is his, he's planting, making them plenteous. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he's making silver and gold abundant. Silver in typology represents the atonement. Amen. It was the price of the atonement paid, 2 shekels of silver under the Levitical law and the Deuteronomic law. They had to get 2 shekels of silver. He made the atonement plenteous, provision, plenty provision for the atonement for everybody. Amen. And gold, which represents deity, is available. He's as great as you allow him to become. His power is available to anyone who will seek him. Amen. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. And the king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price, at a great price. Now the linen represents the righteous covering to hide the nakedness of men. And he didn't have all kinds of linen. He brought out, all kinds of cloth, but he had linen. We shall have one covering. The righteous and the saints shall be one covering, even Jesus Christ cast about us. For this linen brought out of Egypt is Christ, brought out of Egypt of this world, made a covering for us who dwell in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And the horse-drawn chariots that came out of Egypt. God's army rides in these horse-drawn carriages pulled by horses. God's army rides in fleshly bodies that have come out of Egypt, right from the dust of the ground, Amen. Of the desert floor of Egypt. And we ride as sons of God, but we are riding in God's chariot of His Spirit pulled by these fleshly big beast bodies that came out of Egypt. But someday, He'll rescue us from that. Amen. You see, He talks about horses. He talks about our flesh in Psalms 33:17. I'm going to read you 2 scriptures concerning that. I could read you more. And a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. You can't trust the horse if the Lord doesn't save you. You don't stand a chance. You can't trust these fleshly bodies. It's a vain thing to save you. Many trusted in horses and chariots and were slain. And when God sent lightning down and the rivers ran, And the rain poured and the waters went a mighty raging river in a battle there. I think it was the case when Cicero was there. The horses, they broke the hoofs on the rocks. There were thousands of horses. Can you imagine thousands of horses in a lightning storm and thunder that God sends? rushing winds, confusion, and enough. You can just see the panic of thousands of horses in war with the rain and the lightning and the booming, all breaking the hoofs to pieces on the rock. You know you got carnage here, my friend. You got something. And that is the picture of man in the giant struggles, and when God's thunder echoes across the heavens, and man is in fear and panic, and the judgment of God is rolling through the heavens about man, and man is battling. There we find that a break in the hoofs. You can't trust in horses. You can't trust in your flesh. You only can trust in the living God. He said in chapter 20 of Psalms, and in verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 1, if you'll turn there, please. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Now, God has, in this particular type, taking us who are daughters of Pharaoh, because the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. He's the prince and power of the air. And we have served him. We have served the Pharaoh of this world. We have been his daughter. We have been his daughter. The scripture speaks about sin being king over us. Amen. But he has come and taken the daughter of Pharaoh, the daughter that has come from sin, and he has espoused it unto himself, having cleansed us and elevated us and taken us to Jerusalem to be his own. Hallelujah. We read of a case, a familiar story, almost all of you know it at least, of a case for two women. Both had been harlots, and they had two children, and one of the children had been overlaid by her and died. And the other one, they brought the two children before Solomon. And they both claimed it was theirs. And Solomon was to judge the matter. And he said, we'll divide the baby. And when kings in those days spoke, things were done. And they did strange things. If you read the history of the kings, I mean, they did some pretty fantastic things sometimes. And one of them said, that's what we'll do. Good. The other one said, no, please, let her have it. Now, I know this story, in its brevity, sounds rather beneath the intelligence of man. But we see here not only the darkness of a heart, but we see here a typological picture. That makes a lot of sense. We see in this analogy that there is a parallel spiritually, that Christ is going to show up a harlot woman in the last days who desires to bring up a child that's not hers. She's killed her own baby. She's laid on it, smothered it to death. Just smothered it until the people couldn't even hardly breathe, the harlot woman. Laid on that church until she smothered it to death. They just choked to death, strangled, without breath of any spirit, till it died. And now in the last days, this harlot Babylon woman system wants to take the man-child of another who was a harlot, but having been forgiven much, loveth much, and having been saved and cleansed, to go out to sin no more and be cleansed by Jesus, now wants to take the man-child and wants to rule it and control it. But if she can't have it, she'll then want to divide it, bring division in it, so she can have half of it. Now, she'll get a dead half, and the other will be dead because division kills, but she doesn't. That's what she wants. She wants it to be dead and divided. But the true mother, the backslidden Israel, that played the harlot, that God said, I stretched my hands at all the day long. You've been out under every green tree. You played the harlot. I've written you a bill of divorce. But he says, I'm married unto the backslider. If you return unto me, I will return unto you, saith the Lord. And so blindness in part has happened to Israel until all the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And then as is written, all Israel shall be saved. And she shall come back in again, and that which was not a people shall be called her people, his people. And so we find out that at this time, that she did not want to divide it. But Solomon identified the mother. He's going to identify the mother in the last day and save the child. Amen. Solomon planted orchards and vineyards and lush, beautiful gardens with lovely pools. He had great amount of there are servants born in the house of God. And he made silver and gold abundant. And he had many singers, and the Holy Ghost adds both men singers and women singers. And his scripture says he had musical instruments of all sorts. And that's the saints of God. He has musical instruments he plays through of all sorts. Praise the Lord. And then in chapter 10 in verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels of their spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house which he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers, I hope you're getting this now in the New Testament dispensation, and of his cupbearers and of his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Now she was not a daughter of Jerusalem. She was down from Ethiopia, or Sheba, down in Sheba. But now, when that church that is not of Jerusalem in the last days sees the great, wonderful, mighty, majestic service of the Lord Jesus and sees the house that he built, when it gets completed, when we all get fitted right, and they see the house and they see the meat of the table, they see all that God has provided and the wonderful truths of his word, and the sitting of his servants, how many he's got, and the attendance of his ministers, and the righteous apparel, and the cupbearers, and the ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, the great and marvelous ascent. There's going to be no more spirit in her. And she's going to come and join. And there's going to be a death blow to the beast. And she said to the king, it is a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. That's going to happen. They come in the millennium, too, from the isles of the sea and all parts of the earth. And thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. The servants, God's servants, are happy servants. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Verse 17. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went into one shield. That's a lot of deity. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Scripture tells you he put them as shields. He put those as emblems of the mighty men, of those who had gone before. He put up the shields to show those who had been valiant in the work of God. And God is not going to let our work go unnoticed. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. And the throne had 6 steps, which is the number of men. And at the top of the throne was round about, and there were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the other the six steps, and there was not the like made in any kingdom. He not only had those 12 lions, even as he had the 12 apostles. And all the King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. All of deity and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. None were of silver. Because in that hour, that which is redemption is past. And now it's all of God. All of deity. And there was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. They had nothing accounted of. They didn't keep track of it. Every place else was riches, they always tabulate and keep track of it, make sure it's all in. He had so much, he didn't pay any attention to what he had. They didn't even keep track of it, it was so much. Just use it. Hallelujah. And that's the way it's going to be with God. He's not going to keep track of what he gives his people. Just use it. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Verse 23, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And so we see the greater apostle, greater Solomon. And in chapter 4, we see in verse 7, and Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals for the king and his household. Each man his month and a year made provision. Jesus had 12 apostles of the Lamb set over Israel. And their names are written in the 12 foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. They are the 12 witnesses to Israel. And it said they made victuals or food for the king and for his household. And so the 12 apostles made food, brought foods for him to the people, to his household. And then verse 27 says, after speaking about all these things, and those officers provided victuals for King Solomon and for all that came into King Solomon's table. And that's what the apostles did, because we're building the foundations, the apostles and prophets. Every man in his month, they lacked nothing. And God's apostles he sends out, apostolene to be sent out, lacked nothing. Jesus said to them, have you lacked anything? And they said, nothing. The Holy Ghost puts us here for a purpose. And we might identify. And all paid tribute to him. In the Song of Songs, we see the most intimate details of his glory. I think my time is about up, however. I'm going to have to let this go until next week. This is the introduction. But next week, we see the greatness of his glory in that love song of all songs, the song of the greater Solomon to his bride. The next couple of weeks, on Sunday night, we'll be talking about that. Praise the Lord.